Cool. Well, this year we have been taking the opportunity in our 5pm space to explore some of the little letters of the New Testament. These are those short one-page, one-chapter letters that when you're trying to find them quickly in the Bible, you just kind of keep skimming past and then you go, no, I've missed, and you have to go back. It's those short letters that you kind of wonder, why are these in here? And yet, even though they are short, even though they are small, there is a huge impact from these letters. Earlier this year, we explored the letters of 2nd and 3rd John. Next week, Gavin is going to be exploring the letter of Jude. I'm really glad that he gets to do that one and I get Philemon. But tonight, we are looking at the letter of Philemon, a beautiful letter, an encouraging letter, and one all about relationships. And so let's dive in. Let's start off with a little bit of context about this letter and look at verses 1 to 3. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So a little bit of context about the letter of Philemon. In case you didn't pick it up from verse 1, it is written by the Apostle Paul. It's similar to a lot of Paul's other writings, except that this is more of a personal letter. This is not a formal letter to a church. This is a personal letter written to a friend. And here he describes himself as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Paul often uses these designations, prisoner, slave, servant. What's fascinating about the book of Philemon, or the letter of Philemon, is that he doesn't use an apostolic designation alongside it. Normally he says, an apostle of Christ and a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But here he just describes himself as a prisoner. And we'll come back to that a little bit later. But we also have, he's also writing from prison at the time, so, you know, it makes sense that he describes himself as a prisoner. And he's writing alongside his friend Timothy, who we know is a church leader and a follower of Jesus and somebody that Paul has been mentoring. This letter is written around 60 AD, so the church has, this is about 30 years since Jesus ascended, that the church has been working things out and working out how to do life and how to engage with things. And it is written to Philemon, who is described here as our dear friend and fellow worker. And this isn't just a fancy word to say. What we see from this letter is that Philemon truly was a dear friend to Paul. This is a deeply personal letter written to somebody who is really important to Paul. Somebody who mattered. And then those other names that are there, Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, most likely Philemon's family, his wife and son. But what's the point? Why was this letter written? What was the point? Because it wasn't just to say hi to his friend. Paul had a very specific reason for writing this. And the reason is he saw two people who had a broken relationship and it broke his heart. He saw two people who had once had a relationship. It was now in tatters. But he knew that they needed to do something to reconcile, to restore that relationship. And so he is writing this letter to encourage it. And those two people, one of them is Philemon. And Philemon is a fairly wealthy man. He is a devoted follower of Jesus. He's somebody who is passionate in his heart and his desire to follow Jesus. He was wealthy. He let the church meet in his home. And he was also an owner of slaves. And that last one may kind of hit a little bit like a record scratch. You kind of go, how do you have a devoted follower of Jesus and an owner of slaves? And yet we have to remember the context of this time that it was written in, the fact that slaves were a big part of Roman culture. But what we see in this letter and in other New Testament writings is that there was a shift in the way that they were being viewed. So you've got Philemon, and then the other person is Onesimus. And Onesimus was actually the one who got to carry this letter to Philemon. He was a friend of Paul's as well. In fact, Paul and Onesimus somehow crossed paths while Paul was in prison, and Paul led him to Christ. Paul was the one who managed to share the gospel with Onesimus, to share who Jesus was and to lead him to Christ. And then Onesimus was able to be a source of comfort to Paul. He encouraged him, he built him up, he helped him as he was in prison and just encouraged him. And he was also once the slave of Philemon, except for the fact that he ran away and most likely stole money from Philemon as he did. But now he knows Jesus, and he's a new creation, and everything's right again, right? You know, this letter is about a broken relationship between these two people, and it was a fairly big thing. And we also have to remember, like, Onesimus is delivering this letter. And at this time, if you were a runaway slave, you could easily be imprisoned or you could be executed. So I reckon as Onesimus was knocking on Philemon's door, his knees were shaking a little bit. Like, there is some fear going on here. But as Paul writes this letter to encourage reconciling relationships, the big question that's being asked is this: what do we do when the person who has caused us angst becomes a brother or sister in Christ? Because Paul's met both Philemon and Onesimus separately. He's gotten to know both of them, and he loves and cares for both of these people. He's heard their stories and he's worked out that they both know the same person, that their stories are connected somewhere. And now he wants to help restore relationship between them. You know, these guys thought that they would never see each other again, and yet now there's Onesimus knocking on his door, wanting reconciliation. I could easily see this story turning into a sitcom. I would love to see this played out on a stage. Just the kind of mistaken identity and that awkwardness at work. And yet this idea of people causing us angst and what are we meant to do about that? I think that we can all relate to that. Maybe not in the whole slave and owner kind of way, but maybe about as you reflect on that person in high school who always used to annoy you and bully you and belittle you, that you haven't actually thought about in a really long time, but whenever that memory of that person comes up, it's always associated with angst and pain and hurt. Or maybe it is that boss or work colleague that threw you under the bus and left you to take all the responsibility, even when it wasn't your fault. What about that old friend who you were so close to? And then there was that incident. You know, the incident where all the trust got broken. We all have these relationships in our lives that have caused us angst, that have caused us frustration, that have caused us hurt and pain. But what are we meant to do about it when that person becomes a new creation in Christ, or when they already are our brother or sister in Christ? What are we meant to do? How are we meant to move on with that relationship? As Paul unpacks some truths for Philemon, there are some important truths that we can learn from this as well. So as we continue through Philemon with verses 4 to 7, we can see what Paul has to say next. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. And then at the end, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Even while Paul is in prison in Rome, he's hearing stories about what Philemon's doing. He's hearing people talk about Philemon's faith, his hospitality, his love, his encouragement, all these wonderful things. He is hearing about a real, living, and active faith amongst Philemon. And it encourages Paul, it lifts him up. But what we see is that Philemon was somebody who dearly, deeply loved Jesus. And then in verse 6, there's that beautiful phrase, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. This beautiful idea that when we choose to live out our faith, when we choose to let our faith be practical, real, lived, there is this deepening of our understanding of who Jesus is. People often ask, how do I get to know Jesus more? Paul says here, the answer to that is live out your faith. Put your faith into action. Choose to live according to what you believe, and you come to a greater understanding of who Jesus is. You come to a greater understanding of the good things that he has given you and brought for you. This is such a beautiful idea, and even if you take nothing else from tonight, this is a beautiful idea and picture to hold on to consider. That if you want to know Jesus more, you live out your faith. You get practical, you get real. But then Paul continues, he continues with this idea and he goes on to verses 8 to 14. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. He describes Onesimus as his son because he wanted to use a really poor dad joke here. Because the name Onesimus literally means useful. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. And then verse 12, I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Here in these verses, we see the reason why Paul didn't describe himself as an apostle at the start of this letter. Because Paul is writing to a friend. And in verse 8, he says, I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. And in verse 14, but I did not want you to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. If Paul describes himself as the apostle, he's writing with all the force that that comes with. And yet what he really wants to do is he wants to encourage his friend. But there's this truth that comes from this. That when we talk about reconciliation, when we talk about restoring relationship, reconciliation is a choice. And it is a heart attitude. It is not something that can be forced. It's not something that we can just stick two people in a room and lock the door and say, make sure that you reconcile your relationship. That doesn't work. You can't stand over people with a big stick and force them to restore relationship. It doesn't work. I mean, you think back to when you're at school and whenever there was something between you and a friend and the teachers always made you come together and say sorry. You went, sorry. You didn't really mean it. The teachers were helping to teach you this is what you need to do, but at the same time, for there to be true reconciliation, you can't be forced into it. It's a choice. It's a heart attitude. And it's a heart attitude that develops out of an understanding of what Jesus has done for us. It's a heart attitude that develops because we know who Jesus is and the good things that he has done, which comes from living out our faith as we deepen in that understanding. And so when Paul writes this to Philemon, he is putting the ball in Philemon's court and saying, I'm not going to order you to do this. Because you know what you need to do as a Christian. You know what you need to do as a follower of Jesus. But at the end of the day, it is your choice. And he's trusting Philemon that he is mature. He is trusting Philemon that he has a beautiful understanding of Jesus and what he has done. But it's a choice. And it's a heart attitude. And you know, this is a reminder that we need to consider when it comes to reconciliation. When it comes to us reconciling relationships, other people can't force us to. We can't just sit in a corner and wait for someone to make us make up with them. This makes it harder because it becomes a choice. It becomes something we have to choose to do, something we have to choose to engage with. Something that will flow out of us based on our understanding of who Jesus is. But the beautiful thing is, when we choose to engage in reconciliation, when we choose to engage in restoring relationship, we come to a deeper understanding of Jesus again. It's this beautiful cycle that gives us the strength to keep going. It gives us the strength to keep pushing forward and choosing to follow Jesus. Paul continues in verses 15 and 16. He says, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So here we see Paul emphasizing to Philemon some truths. This man who is standing at your door, who brought you this letter, this is not the same guy that ran away from you all those years ago. He's not the same person that he was. He is a new creation. He has been made new. He is now returning to you, not as a slave, but as a man. Better than that, as a brother, as family. He's returning to you as someone who is important to you. See, what Paul is wanting to do here is he's wanting to shift the perspective from worldly to eternal. Because have you ever noticed that when you have a relationship in your life with angst or frustration or annoyance, your mind kind of gets trapped in that time frame of when they caused you that angst? I'll admit, as I was writing this message, I thought about a guy from high school who caused me so much angst and so much frustration and so much annoyance. And even now, even though it is almost 20 years since we were together, in my mind, he is still a teenage boy and still annoying. He's stuck in that angst and that frustration and that pain in my mind. Because that's what it does. It traps people in that space. And so Paul writes to Philemon, I know that you're going to see this guy as your former slave. I know that you're going to see him as that person who caused you angst and hurt and pain. But I want you to shift your perspective. I want you to shift the way that you are looking at him and the way you are seeing him. Instead, I want you to see him as a brother in Christ. Not a slave, but an equal in God's eyes. He is returning as somebody who is part of the same kingdom that you are. He's returning as someone who is part of the same family as you are, and God sees you both the same. Can you imagine the power dynamic shift that has to happen in Philemon's head right now? This guy that I used to order to clean my toilets, I now need to embrace him as a brother. That would have been a massive mental shift for him. This is no longer relationship of owner and slave. This is friend, brother, person who means a lot to somebody that I respect. It's this incredible shift and change. And I wonder, in those relationships we have where somebody has caused us angst, where they have caused us pain and frustration, what would happen if we chose to shift our perspective? What would happen if we chose to not see them for their frustration or the angst or the annoyance or the hurt? But instead we chose to see them as God sees them. What if we chose to see them as the precious children of God? This is not a new idea. This is an idea we have heard many times, but sometimes it's just we need that reminder to shift our thinking, to shift our perspective from the worldly to the eternal. Paul continues with verses 17 to 21. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Paul's taking the opportunity in these last few verses to lay his heart out. And as he does so, we see that not only does he care deeply for Philemon, he has great love for this dear friend of his, but he also has incredible love for Onesimus, this brother of his. And so Paul's final appeal to Philemon comes with this. Paul offers proof that Onesimus is made new. Throughout this entire letter, Paul has been building up and encouraging Onesimus. In verses 12 and 13, it says, I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. It speaks of the care and concern that Paul has for him. And then in verse 16 it says, he is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. You know, Paul's highlighted this is someone who matters. This is someone who is important to him. Onesimus was there beside him in prison, not as a prisoner, but going in and encouraging him and building him up and supporting him. There is real love between Paul and Onesimus, just as there is between Philemon and Paul. But there is so much respect and care for Onesimus that Paul is willing to put his own reputation on the line. Because he says, if he owes you anything or if there are any damages, I will pay for it. He's willing to put his own money on the line. He's willing to vouch for me in that way. But also, I want you to welcome him the same way that you would welcome me. He is putting his relational credit and his friendship with Philemon on the line here for this guy. Because to Paul, he knows that this is not the same man who ran away from Philemon all those years ago. He is new. He is made new. He is in Christ. He has changed and he is different. And so Paul offers his own vouching for him, his own relational credit. He's drawing on that in order to say, this guy is different. And when we look at our relationships, sometimes this is what we need. We need somebody who is outside the situation to just speak beyond our blind spots and point out that, no, this person is not the same as they used to be. They have changed. They have grown. To see that proof that they are made new, that they are different in Jesus. And it's okay to want that proof. It's okay to need that proof. Because it depends on the situation and it depends on what has happened. But that external view to the situation can help highlight those blind spots that we have. And then Paul finishes the letter with verses 22 to 25. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. As Paul finishes this letter, he expresses a desire. I want to be returned to you. I want to spend time with my friends because you matter to me. A beautiful way to end the letter. But as we reflect on Philemon, there is the question. What are we meant to do when somebody has caused us hurt or angst or pain or frustration? And they are a brother or sister in Christ. Or they become a brother or sister in Christ. It is a challenge to us that we know there needs to be reconciliation. But we need to work out what that looks like. Because as Paul reminds us, reconciliation is a choice. And that's a hard attitude that comes from that understanding of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Maybe we need to shift our perspective a little bit. To choose to look to the eternal instead of the worldly. Maybe we need somebody else to speak into the situation to offer proof that there is change. But just like Paul couldn't order Philemon to reconcile, neither can anyone order us. Instead, it's something that comes from the way that we love Jesus. And from our understanding of what he has done for us.